Oh, hey, Bonk.
Hello there, Daniel.
You know, we're out of panning the Scream October at this point.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I know you like doing the Scream. But, oh boy, we can still see some horrible, horrifying things on this here podcast.
Yeah, I mean, this is when the true horror begins.
Yes, the scariest things. Do we get right into it, or you got anything? What's new in Bonk's life?
Well, listeners at home, if I sound a little different to you, it's because I got my Invisaligns today, and I'm making a concerted effort to not slur my words and talk with a really heavy lisp, so if it's really irritating to you, I apologize.
When you run your tongue over them, do you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
Is it on the back and the front?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You never had braces growing up, did you?
I did, yes.
How would you compare it to that?
I mean, this is much better than braces, because you could just pop them out.
Oh, okay. It's like dentures, but for young people. That's how they should market it.
Dentures are teeth. They replace teeth, so right, it's not like that at all.
But you can do the thing where you're like take it out. Like my grandpa used to do it, and it was like, whoa, that's crazy. You can do it,
but
you still have teeth.
If someone with dentures takes out their dentures, their whole mouth goes sunken in. They look like a completely different person.
That's true. Yours is like a fake dentures thing where it's like, oh, I'm going to take out my dentures.
Stop
and you take them out.
Dentures.
And
they're not like dentures at all.
But it's a joke. You make it look like you're about to take dentures out, and everyone's like, a small child might fall for this. And you'd be like, oh, I'm going to take my dentures out. And you take them out. And then they see your real teeth are in there, and they're like, those weren't dentures. I'm trying to workshop stuff. We got a new nephew.
It's more like a retainer type of thing. Okay. Where you could pop it in and out like that.
Okay. I'm just trying to workshop like material for children
By the time our baby nephew Andy is old enough to comprehend the idea of braces and retainers, I will no longer be wearing these. I should only have them on for a few months. So.
You could keep them for that purpose?
No.
Ever think about that?
I haven't. Maybe I will. I don't know.
Okay. We had a great scare in the lovely, lovely land of American health insurance. when it's one of those things where I feel like 60% of the time I've had anything medical done,
mm-hmm.
I always go in and I'm like, hey, I've got this insurance. Is this covered? Are we good here? I just want to make sure we're good. And then they're like, oh, yeah, totally fine. And then like 3 or 4 weeks later, you get a thing in the mail and they're like, you may owe $1 billion. And I look at it, I'm like, and then I try to call people, and I explain it, and it only gets more confusing from there. So, Bonk, you had this recently.
Yeah, it's never like, oh, it's in-network, therefore it's covered completely, or don't worry about it, or you have to pay this much, or whatever, which I don't understand to begin with. Like, if I look on the homepage for our health insurance website, it says, like, oh, you have this, like, maximum daily allotment of spending, and you have this much of a deductible. I don't understand any of that
shit.
No,
or HMOs, or PPOs, or flex accounts.
Yeah, and, like, it must be incredibly confusing because I've never been able to, like, no one's been able to, like, explain it to me succinctly. At any rate, this dentist, who's great, he's an amazing dentist, and I was really excited to find him, and I even recommend Dan make an appointment, which he did. I guess when I made the appointment, he was in network, and recently he became out of network. So I received a letter from the insurance company being like, hey, you owe way more money than you thought you owed.
Well, because it's already an expensive, like, thousands of dollars thing.
Even with insurance, Invisalign is still an expensive procedure. I mean, I'm getting it done now to prevent having to incur a huge amount of, you know, dental fees later down the road. Especially now in this quarantine times where, you know, I'll have my mask on most of the time. So I'm not as embarrassed by it, but
you shouldn't be embarrassed by it.
Well,
they're invisible.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, all I have going for me are my good looks. So I really have to try to preserve every aspect of that.
I think you look as beautiful as ever.
No, I'm kidding. I'm literally a boiled turd, to quote you earlier. But yeah, so it all worked out.
Wait,
though.
No, you just made it sound like I called you a boiled turd.
Well, I was quoting you as you described yourself as
right,
a boiled
turd. Right, I just want to make it clear, I didn't say you were a boiled
no,
turd.
No, you're always incredibly kind to me. but yeah, the dentist office being, as I suspected, really great and understanding, they're extending our coverage so we don't have to worry about or pay anything more than we already paid, so.
That's crisis averted.
Yeah, I still don't understand. It's like,
it's the worst.
Apparently, when you call or When you make an appointment with a new healthcare provider, you have to ask, like, are you in network? Don't just ask if they take whatever your health insurance is, because any place is going to take the insurance.
Yeah, I got to always super duper duper clarify anytime I call.
Yeah, but you know, they really screw you around because, like, sometimes you'll go to, let's say, a hospital is in network, but then they'll, you know, pass you off to a doctor who is out of network, and then you get a surprise bill. And, like, if you're at a place where you think takes your insurance, and then all of a sudden, like, one specific provider there doesn't.
Yeah, or I've had it even where it's like, oh, the doctor or hospital I went to is covered and in network, but I didn't know that when they sent off my blood test, it gets sent to this diagnostic lab and the lab is not covered. It's like, oh, you motherfuckers. This is the worst thing.
Yeah, totally.
It's a good problem to have. I know just having health insurance is good, you know, but like, boy, they don't make it easy.
I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous that healthcare isn't a just right that we all have as human beings. But even having insurance is incredibly confusing.
Yeah, it is.
It's all so ridiculous.
Anyway, that's the debut of our new segment, the Insurance Minute. We'll keep you updated on our insurance comings and goings.
Next week, we'll be discussing foreign affairs.
Yes, yes. And then after that, we'll have renter's insurance. Yeah. So it's going to get very exciting.
How about those Liganberries, huh?
Liganberries?
Over in Sweden, they got those special berries and those meatballs.
I've never heard of a Liganberry.
Yeah, that's a special Swedish berry.
Really? Have you had one?
No, but I think you could get them at IKEA. They'll get like a jelly made of it or some shit.
They do the meatball thing there.
Yeah, you got Liganberries in Sweden. You got pizza pies in Italy.
Right.
You know, this is I'm giving you some information about foreign affairs.
Okay, this is a teaser for the segment.
Yeah. And sometimes, well, not anymore because of COVID, but occasionally someone will, from the U.S., go to either of these countries and consume either pizza pie or Liganberries, and then they'll come back home. This is how we maintain peace across our various nations of this world.
I would do that trip with you once we can start flying and doing things safely again.
I once ate a whole pizza pie in Italy.
I ate an entire pizza pie last night, and
no,
I don't feel great.
I had the crust. You probably ate like 70% of that pizza because I had the crust.
I did give you all my crust. Yeah, that's true. It was good.
I love this transaction that we have.
Oh, and it's hot oil pizza, man.
Oh my God, hot oil pizza.
It only seems to exist in Connecticut, but oh man, hot oil pizza.
I never even heard of it before.
I hadn't either, and it's so simple. It seems like it'd be the easiest thing to like bring to any pizza.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not just an oil that you heat up. It's obviously like a specifically flavored oil, but it's
so
flavorful.
It's like a tangy pepper oil type thing.
And then there'll be like little like jalapenos on the pizza. Oh my God, so good.
It's incredible. It's the best Connecticut specific food I found for sure.
I was not anticipating the pizza quality in Connecticut, but it's insane. It's so good. Thin crust. It's just freaking amazing.
Top notch.
Really good.
Speaking of top notch, that is not a segue that applies to the thing I'm about to start talking about because it's not top notch. It's the lowest notch, so the lowest rung on the ring, the lowest ring on the ladder. No, help me.
No.
Oh shit. Catwoman. The movie.
Yes. We finally got around to seeing the legendary
Catwoman. By the way, we it's on HBO Max, and I love that we're like, it was one of those times where it's like, sometimes we have a plan for like, oh, let's cover this for Panning the Stream. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just sit down and we open up like, oh, we haven't done HBO Max in a bit. Let's just kind of scroll through and see what we got.
Right.
And we're scrolling through, and we just breezed right past like Citizen Kane, North by Northwest, Dog Day Afternoon, three classics we had never seen. And then we saw Catwoman, and we were both like, yeah.
Well, to be fair, you had given us this restriction that the movie had to be like, under an hour and 40 minutes.
We were just kind of busy or something, and it's like, let's just knock one out pretty quick here. Because the thing we're about to do next, I believe, is one that requires a little more time for each one of these episodes. More on that to come. But yeah, we just wanted kind of a short one for this. And Catwoman is mercifully short. It is an hour, 40 minutes-ish. It was made in 2004, starring Halle Berry as Patience Phillips. And I don't know, I'm actually going to Google it right now, because I know like there have been like numerous different Robins in the Batman universe.
I know like Selina is the...
Selina Kyle.
Yeah.
That's the one that like I think Michelle Pfeiffer played in Batman Returns.
Let me just say one thing before we get into the nitty-gritty of this film.
Sure.
I think that if you don't want to see the movie and you don't want to listen to this podcast, all you have to know is that this movie is essentially just Halle Berry in a Catwoman costume. Like, that is literally all there is. The whole movie exists just to give an excuse to inundate us with images of Halle Berry prowling around in a dominatrix outfit.
I think that might have something to do with why my dad does not like watching movies, but he has seen this movie. That might have something to do with it. So, yes, she does play Patience Phillips, and I looked it up. I think that is only Catwoman in this movie. I don't think, and the game, of course, the game, which I think as a joke.
Wait, is the game based on this movie?
Oh yeah, okay. The cover is Halle Berry's Catwoman. I think as a joke, I had two copies of it. Came out in 2004.
It's a funny joke.
Is that the killing
joke that everyone talks about?
That's what it's based on, yeah. No, I think Hastings or something was going out of business, and like they had a bunch of like really bad games for like $2, and I was like, an Xbox game for $2? I don't care if it's Catwoman. And I bought
Hastings?
A couple of them. And it's a Midwest thing. Mm. Yeah. It's a real bad game. It might be a worse movie.
Imagine if the game was just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an Arkham Asylum type thing, but like it's all set in the world of Pitoff's Catwoman. By the way, Pitoff is the director. No first name, no last name, just Pitoff.
Well, when you've achieved this level of skill and finesse in filmmaking, you don't need the constraints of a surname or even a first name. You can just put a label on yourself and people will just recognize that. It's like Madonna. I mean,
yeah.
It exists on another plane.
It's Madonna and Pitoff and Adele.
Pitoff, Jesus, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're all up there. I think Christ was his last name, right?
Was Christ Jesus?
Was that his last name, or was that like a title? I went to Catholic school. I don't know. That.
Maybe Christ was his last name.
Hello, I'm Mr. Christ. No, I've never heard anyone say Mr. Christ.
Well, they should from now on. I mean, it's respectful.
I guess so. I don't know what Christ means.
Excuse me, Mr. Christ.
Is that part of his? Wait, Christianity has the word. Look, I don't know how religion works. Pitoff, though, I know how this man works. He worked as he was a French visual effects supervisor and a director notable for Vidocq and Catwoman. Also, Catwoman was his last film. Not a lot of people looking for Pitoff after this.
That's unfortunate.
I got the sense that, you know, Mick G?
No.
Mick G was a guy that I think he directed the Charlie's Angels movie, the like Cameron Diaz one.
I liked that when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah? I think people liked that. He was a music video director. I want to say he did like the Britney Spears Toxic video and like a bunch of like really famous ones. You know, yeah, yeah. And so it seemed to me like Pitoff might have been something like that, because it's like this movie is trying a lot of just like very 2004 effects, like a bunch of just really bad panning shots of like CGI cities.
Well, I mean, from what I understand, his main credential is that he is like a special effects guy.
Yes, yes.
He doesn't really have a lot of directing experience. And like, I mean, the special effects are you know, not great, but
no.
Definitely not the worst part of this movie. I mean, they're exactly what I would expect for 2004. I mean,
I guess.
And it isn't overwhelming amount of CGI. I mean, when it is used, like, I feel like when it's used for her, when she's like, you know, jumping around and doing parkour or whatever.
Parkour?
What's it? Parkour?
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 Parkour. I mean, it's Pitoff. He's French. He calls it parkour.
Of course. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
she moves so fast that you can't really even see it. You know what I mean?
You
can't really notice it. And then they're not too heavy-handed with it. The special effects, Dan, are the smallest problem.
I think we have to check all the boxes of what's bad, though. And, like, I've seen enough PS2 era cutscenes to know some, like, CG. And, like, whenever it's, like, kind of wide on her and she's, like, jumping from a building to a building or, like, whipping around a thing or whatever, it's very much like, okay, that's them just trying to keep the Halle Berry model far enough away from the camera to not be obvious that it's, like, a PS2 character.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, the movie itself, there's a lot to talk about here, but it's worth noting that Halle Berry, just several years earlier, had won the Oscar for Best Actress for, I think, Monsters Ball,
yeah,
right?
I think so.
She's the first woman of color to win that. I mean, was she the first woman of color or the first African-American woman?
I don't know. I don't know the history of the
I don't know, but
Oscars.
it was a significant thing, and that made it all the more shocking that she would then go on to do this.
Yeah, I wonder if it's something like, we were talking about someone recently, I think it was Fassbender, as somebody who's like obviously a really good actor, but maybe picked some bad scripts, like The Snowman and stuff. I think we might have talked about him then.
Well, listen, I give everyone in that movie a break, because it seems like the productions really fucked that up. I mean, Chloe Sevigny was in it.
It's written on paper that it should have been a pretty good, prestigious thriller.
Yeah, but I will say he was also in the Assassin's Creed movie, which from what I understand wasn't great.
I think that's why we brought it up, because I think it's like he had several movies that are like, dude, you're better than this. Why are you in this thing?
Yeah,
you know?
Shane was so fucking good.
That's a dark-ass movie.
Oh my God, that stuff with his sister is so weird.
It's the whole movie is weird and dark, and yeah, he's very good in that. Man. But Halle Berry, you know, she's done some stinkers. Swordfish is a terrible film.
Oh, yeah, Swordfish. Famously, Daniel Manda, my brother's favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, you should ask him about that.
I'll have to bring that up. Okay.
Ask him about Swordfish.
Is it because she was topless in it for a second? Because that's all anyone talked about with that movie.
No, I think that's probably his least favorite part of the movie.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he's uncomfortable when people are overly sexual.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. It's as someone who has seen it, I can say it is the least sexual nudity I've ever seen in a film. She is sitting by a pool, and she's reading like a newspaper, and I think it's John Travolta or someone walks up to her to say something, and she lowers the newspaper to like look at the guy and talk, not in a flirty way at all, mm-hmm. and it's just like the newspaper just uncovers her boobs.
Mm.
That's it. It's like 2 seconds, but like that was like, stop the presses, Halle Berry's boobs are in a movie. Like people freaked out about that back
then. Yeah, it's weird how, you know, women have boobs sometimes, and
people were just figuring out about it in like the early 2000s.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sometimes they're open to the air and people can see them, and that excites a lot of people. But no matter what breast shape you have, whether they're small breasts or large breasts, or I chose the wrong word to be repeating with my Invisalign. Ultimately, they're all just flops of skin.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, they give nourishment to babies, right? To babes.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's nothing really remarkable there about boobs.
Yeah. I think we might be coming at this from different angles here. I think I might respectfully disagree. So, this film starts with a lot of gravitas for Catwoman. There's a lot of like serious singing, and it's like,
oh my God.
With like hieroglyphics and stuff. And it's just like they're really trying to be like, oh, we're going to go
serious.
Catwoman through the ages. You know, it's
this has mythology behind it.
I think mythology means fake stuff. Like hieroglyphics were real.
Well, I guess it's a storied tale that goes deep through the ages.
Yeah, Catwoman, you know, we see all the paintings and everything of the Catwoman of the different centuries.
Yeah,
so she's just one of this lineage of mysterious Catwomen, which we'll learn about. Which, of course, this starts with Patience Phillips, who is a graphic designer for a makeup company.
Right.
And, like, you went to art school. Did you feel like, could you relate to the character more as someone who went to art school?
No.
No, not so much.
No, I was really confused by why she was painting her ad for the cream.
Yeah, this was 04. They definitely had Photoshop.
Yeah.
Yeah. She works at a beauty business company, whatever.
Yeah, cosmetics or something.
Yeah, with the most cartoon evil corporate villains you could possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, like a stuffy guy in a suit with a British accent, just like, you all suck. Yeah. Work harder. You know, it's
wife, you're so old and ugly.
Yes. Yeah. Sharon Stone. Yes. So
famously ugly woman, Sharon Stone.
Yeah, known mostly for being ugly, Sharon Stone. she plays Laurel Hedare. And George Hedare, I don't know who the fucking actor is, but they're the like evil married people at the top of the thing.
Right. And the whole company is bustling because they're about to launch their new Beau line of creams, which reverses the signs of aging.
Yes.
And that's it.
But you have to keep using it. If you stop using it, your just skin melts away.
Well, yeah, that's what Patience unwittingly uncovers and subsequently is killed for. But so, okay, imagine just being Halle Berry, okay? Imagine looking like Halle Berry.
Sure.
An iconic, iconic for her beauty and obviously her acting prowess. Why would you dress like that? she might as well be wearing a trash bag. She's
right.
Wearing like the multi-layered, really baggy clothes. Which, okay, I understand. Not everyone's comfortable and wants to show it off. But it really is a damn shame that someone like Patience Phillips would be... That is the worst wardrobe I've ever seen. And I get what they're trying to say, but it's so heavy-handed that she would go from this, like, meek, wearing multi-layers, extremely conservative.
I don't know how to talk to guys. And
very nervous, contrasted against her friend Sally, who just wants to have sex with everything.
Oh, the entire character of Sally, who she used to be on Mad TV, right, is just like, I want a drink and some dick. Like, that's her entire character. The whole time she's talking about wanting booze or dick.
Yeah. Or getting free samples of cream.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah. So, and then to see her go from that to, like, wearing a leather dominatrix outfit, it's just so heavy-handed.
With the most ridiculous default walk animation, like, sachet thing. Which, it is always hilarious to me when they take someone like Halle Berry. Mm-hmm. This is, like, stunning. And then it's like, we're going to make him, like, dorky and, like, unattractive. And it's like, what do you, you just put some weird clothes on her. It's still Halle Berry.
It's kind of a holdover from the 90s where there were a lot of these, like, makeover movies where, like, just the hottest like, person.
She's all that.
Yeah. They have, like, a pair of glasses and a ponytail.
Yeah.
And then all they have to do is just, like, put on a dress and let her hair down. And suddenly it's like, oh, I didn't realize how hot that woman was.
But it's always, like, even when they're in the dorky thing, it's like, they're still very attractive.
They're still gorgeous.
Yes. It's not like, oh my God, I didn't realize they were attractive. Yeah. Jeez, until that happened.
Right. And, you know, I think there's something to be said psychologically for people who are very attractive. Not that I would know anything about this, but I would imagine someone like Halle Berry, for example, just, I mean, I'm really going deep where I shouldn't have to, I'm overanalyzing this, but like, you know, if you look that way, you're going to have a certain confidence that maybe the average person doesn't have. I mean, granted, Patience wasn't given much of a backstory, so I don't know what she's been through or anything. But just looking at this on the surface level, which is clearly what this movie wants me to do, it raises natural questions. Like, why would someone like that looks like that be so meek and afraid of everything?
Right.
But
meek and afraid of everything. But also, if you happen to see a cat scaling the side of your apartment building, just hop right out there and start climbing rusty old air conditioners.
Yeah, that's so weird because, she was not established as a cat lover. She just sees this cat jumping around, obviously very capable of jumping around. It's a cat.
Seems
that's
totally
what cats
fine and comfortable.
Do.
It's not like hanging on by a claw, you know, over
no.
a spike pit.
Cat, isn't that what cats do? Like, they want to be high up. They want to walk on like little planks of wood or whatever.
They're like those weird goats on planet Earth that like can walk on like the sides of the cliffs with just like the tiniest little footholds. You know, they're just nimble and like, hey, you're made for that.
Yeah, that's what they do. But for some reason, she feels the need to try to save this cat. As she's literally like looking down her like four-story apartment and like walking the tiny window, what do you call it, thing? What do you call that?
Ledge?
Thing? Yeah, ledge. Yeah. Benjamin Bratt, the hero, Caesar, thank God, and thinks that she's going to commit suicide. Because, I mean, you know, usually when you see people scaling a ledge, things aren't going well for that person.
Right.
Whether or not they want to commit suicide, it's probably not a good day for them.
This isn't their morning workout.
Right.
Yes.
She doesn't even end up saving the cat, which is like the cat just like jumps into the apartment, like after Benjamin Bratt grabs her off the ledge.
Right. And this is the cat we see with the collar, right?
Yeah. Midnight.
Which, we'll definitely see again. But so this left or this took us to, she needs to deliver her art to like the weird island fortress, nuclear island where the makeup lair is.
Yeah. So she designed this ad and apparently it was all wrong. Not at all what the Ladere guy wanted for this new line of creams. So he makes her redo it and he gives her a deadline of like midnight the next day, which is a ridiculous deadline for any company. But and for some reason, instead of going to like the place where she works to give it to the boss.
Or emailing a PDF. It's 2004.
Yeah, that's a good point. She goes to this weird, like, laboratory.
Yeah, this island lair.
Where she happens upon these evil scientists discussing the really bad side effects of this new cream, which is, like, that your skin will deteriorate and that you'll look like, what's the guy with all the long nails that is it Freddy the Halloween Man?
Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger, yeah.
Freddy the Halloween Man. It's amazing. Oh, man, that's good.
Oh, well, so that's what you end up looking like. So there's a price to pay.
Yes, and she stumbles upon it while she's there. You pointed out something that I did not pick up during this part, because she's trying to kind of, like, hide behind stuff because she doesn't want to get spotted because it's like they're clearly doing nefarious things.
Yeah.
And, like, the two guys, like, two of the guards spot a shadow on the wall. But, like, you pointed out, like, how would there be a shadow there? And if you've seen the movie, if you feel like going back, she's got her back to a, like, pallet of boxes. Like, her back is pressed against a thing. And they are seeing her shadow
It's the there's a shadow as if there's a light right behind her.
Right.
Like, literally it, right behind her. You don't see any of the pallets or anything like that.
Yeah, and the shadow is projected like basically in front of her, even though there's no light behind her whatsoever. It's a just real dumb shot. There's a lot of things they didn't think about with this movie, I think.
And naturally, as she's trying to make her escape, she sees a giant machine and decides to crawl into that.
Yes.
Which ends up being these pipes, and then they flush the pipes, and then she dies.
Well, yeah, it's like this makeup factory, and it's got these huge, like, system of underground tunnels and stuff to, like, shoot liquid through. I don't really understand, but, like, yeah, so she dies, and she lands on weird nuclear cat island, which, by the way, Razor and Gizmo, our two dogs, were not into this island.
No.
They were looking, because it's just a ton of cats walking around, and, like, close-ups of cats and stuff, and Gizmo was not into
it. What happens is Gizmo starts woofing. Because Gizmo's funny. He actually watches TV with us. Like he'll stare at the TV and be like into whatever's going on
and react to things. Yeah. He just cracks up. Yeah.
He's really funny. And if he starts woofing, Razor will start woofing. Not because he's woofing at the same thing. He just woofs because Gizmo's woofing.
It doesn't take a lot to get Razor going. And Gizmo always has to have a purpose. It seems with woofing, Razor will just jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, Gizmo doesn't woof too often.
Not too much, no.
He's so cute. He's standing up and has his paws on me right now. He wants attention.
Oh, jeez.
But I'm trying to record a podcast, bud.
So she's dead on this island thing. Yeah. And then Midnight, the cat, kind of just like crawls on top of her and coughs on her. Like just like, and like CG smoke in her face. And suddenly she's like, fast forward 3 minutes and she's playing like, pick up basketball with Benjamin Bratt and doing NBA street moves and stuff.
The best part, she opens her eyes and it goes from like regular dead human eye to cat eye.
Right, it goes, wow. Yeah. It does that thing.
Yeah, I thought that they would give it a little more thought than just like, oh, we'll have this cat breathe on her.
It just coughs. Like, there's no explanation for why that cat. I mean, they talk to like a weird old cat lady and they like do a half-assed thing of like, oh, cat women throughout history. But
at least make it like scratch Halle Berry, like the
a blood thing
toxic
happened.
Spider that bites Peter Parker or whatever.
Yeah. No, a cat just coughs in her face. And then all of a sudden, like, there's a ton of action scenes after this. And so, okay, I can stretch, you know, my suspension of disbelief to like, okay, she's nimble and agile now. Like, there's a lot of parts where she's on a phone and she's just kind of like nimbly walking on the tops of couches and stuff. But she also is suddenly doing like Eddie Gordo, like, dance fighting moves. And, like, she knows how to, like, ride a motorcycle, like, super well and play one-on-one basketball great. And she's, like, surfing on dudes like Devil May Cry. Like,
yeah, and she's, like, speaking up for herself and, like...
Yeah, she's confident now.
Things that cats really aren't known to do.
Yes. And then, including becoming a cat burglar.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a stretch. I know that's part of, like, Selena Kyle's thing, but...
Well, so, I'm not too familiar with, like, the history of these characters. Is there a supernatural element surrounding Catwoman in other, like, iterations of her? Or is she always just, like, a straight-up, like, kind of, like, Batman-esque, where she's just really talented and has the right equipment, but isn't necessarily, like, a superhero
I'm sure
or villain?
In different, like, comic runs and stuff, I'm sure that varies, but, like, as far as the stuff I've played, like, the Arkham games, and I've read a lot of the, you know, like, graphic novels and stuff like that, I think she's just, like, a really skilled, like, sneaky, like, cat burglar, and she's good with a whip and very nimble, can climb stuff and everything.
She's not, like, embodying the spirit of Goddess Bast.
No, as far like, there are, like, weird, like, you know, Poison Ivy and, like, a lot of things in the Batman universe that do have more of a, like, I don't know if supernatural is the word, but, you know, powers. I don't think she really has that.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I wonder if this movie is some kind of like incredibly misguided attempt to make like a superhero movie for women, because like around this time, Spider-Man and stuff was getting really big, the Tobey Maguire ones. And I wonder if just some dipshit studio exec was like, you know what? I don't think we're tapping into the female market. Why don't we make one where it's like, the star is Halle Berry, the antagonist is Sharon Stone. It's all about beauty. It's like, you know, like, do you think there's a chance that some idiot was just like, this is how we're going to get the ladies in?
Absolutely not. This no? movie is just a vehicle to put her in a cat outfit. It's purely made for the male.
But couldn't
audience.
You see that same dumbass studio exec be like, oh yeah, and so we'll get her in the sexy outfit for the guys, but for... And like, you think about the characters that pop up, it's like, oh, hunky cop or whatever, or like, you know, the girl's like, ooh, I got this hunky doctor or whatever, where it's like kind of this reverse thing that you would normally see in a...
I mean, it's... I could see what you're saying, and maybe that is the case, but it's very, very heavy-handed and not... Like, you don't even get a sense of what her experience is like going from... being like a tiny little scared graphic designer who's afraid of everyone and unable to speak up for herself into this like literal like human cat. Like you, it's just like suddenly she has these abilities and like you barely even see her kind of getting used to it. Like I remember in Into the Spider-Verse where like a significant amount of that movie was spent trying to like looking at Miles Morales kind of becoming used to his new abilities and trying to get a handle on them because it's an overwhelming thing. And it's like kind of grappling with that transition going to from like an average person to having like responsibilities where you have to save people and like having this skill set and everything. And, you know, it doesn't deal at all with that. It's just like, okay, let's push her into a romance with Benjamin Bratt. And, oh, by the way, the fact that a cosmetic company is the primary antagonist in this movie, I feel like says so much.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it's just so stupid. It's so dumb.
It's very dumb.
I mean, the whole thing is women want this cream so they don't age because God forbid a woman ages. But not so fast. It'll disintegrate your skin, or it will turn it to marble if you use it for too long.
Yeah.
So it's just so fucking stupid.
Well, and going back real quick to what you said about the like it going 0 to 60 with her taking these powers, there's like a scene or two or like a shot where she's like, "Whoa, what's going on?" But then she goes straight back from that island to like jumping 4 stories up to get into her apartment and breaking through the window, and then instantly like, "Oh, the neighbors who play music too loud." She goes down there and kicks the door down, and she's like spraying like stuff all over the speakers and like kicking everyone's ass, and like there is absolutely no ramp up to that. She's just like that now.
Yeah, you know what would have been cool. All right, so Halle Berry, amazing actress, okay, in this role, in this version of Catwoman, where she gets bitten by a cat or a cat breathes on her or whatever, and then you see her kind of like, okay, she's eating way more fish, she's really into fish, and she notices she's kind of more, a little more agile. She starts becoming a cat in the way that Jeff Goldblum becomes a fly in The Fly.
I've not seen The Fly.
Oh, man, we gotta watch that.
I've always wanted to see it.
Yeah, like something really dark and creepy. She's not a hero. She's just like, what the fuck is going on? I'm becoming a cat. And just kind of resolving to her fate as a cat.
Like, that's her life now?
Yeah. And then ultimately she becomes a cat, and she still has a human, she's still a human inside of that cat. So instead of being a cat inside of a human, she's a human inside of a cat. I think that would be a far more compelling story.
Yeah, I think you're describing one that's more like, you know, like physically actually, instead of just like, oh, cool cat characteristics, you know, you're talking about literally turning into a cat.
Yeah, growing fur.
Yeah.
Meowing.
Whereas the way this movie does it is literal in the sense of like just every, it's like somebody Googled like what do cats do? And it's like, we got to make Halle Berry do all this. So she rubs catnip all over her face and freaks out. She goes to a sushi place and is just going nuts on the sushi.
She'll sometimes purr.
She purrs, meows, does a bunch of like cat puns.
By the way,
cat got your tongue.
Shout out to cats that actually like say meow when they meow. I love
Oh yeah,
that.
Some do that for sure.
Some
and some
go
dogs
like,
say
meow!
Rough. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good on you cats.
Yeah. And dogs that say rough. They're great too. But yeah, she lands on her feet. She hates rain. She orders cream at a bar and like sips cream.
Straight cream.
Yeah, it's like I'm surprised there wasn't a scene where she gets like distracted by a laser pointer. You know, it's just
or she shits in a bunch of litter.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so just like, okay, we're gonna do all the cat stuff here.
Okay, wait, we have to address this basketball scene that happens shortly after
boy.
She gains control of these weird abilities. She, for some reason, Benjamin Bratt is like talking to a bunch of kids. I don't know why.
He's a cop. He goes to schools and stuff and teaches them like, hey, don't do drugs.
At any rate, they engage in a basketball game, a one-on-one basketball game with a bunch of adolescent children around. And it's like a really sexual basketball game. Like they're grinding on each other and like she like ends up right on top of him and she's doing all these crazy flippy dunky stuff. And it's
with just, this music playing and these
the
camera
music,
angles.
It's the song that was in, I think, like GTA 5. That's just like the lamest fucking song ever. And Oh my God. By the way, all the cuts in this movie, it's obscene. There's so many cuts in this movie constantly.
It's constant. They're all at just like crazy angles. It's all like, it's like this guy just thought that like kinetic camera motion was just like the key to making a entertaining movie. Because it's just constantly, the part where she's riding the motorcycle and I'm just like, what are we looking at on the screen right now? Mm-hmm. It's just like blurs of headlights and then like kind of her from the side. And it just looks like total garbage.
It's amazing how like, well, this might not be the worst movie we've ever watched together.
It's maybe top five.
But it's really remarkable how it's so bad on every level.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? I think it's uniquely terrible on every level.
Soundtrack, special effects, plot, acting, dialogue. It's terrible. Like the cast, look, Sharon Stone, Halle Berry, I don't have anything against Benjamin Bratt. You know, the cast is totally fine. But yeah, everything else. I felt bad for the actors being in this,
mm-hmm.
you know. There's a part where she's trying to learn more about her new abilities and she gets on the internet and goes to cats.women. That's I wonder who has that. I'm going to type that in right now and see what happens. Cats.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait. Is that going to be a thing?
Do an incognito.
Oh, it's just a Google thing. Okay. No, I just got a link from the Biodiversity Library. Cats and women. Why the connection? Okay. So, also, is she completely unrecognizable to Benjamin Bratt when she has the cowl thing on? Is this a Superman's glasses thing?
I feel like if you wore something that obscured your eyes, I would still 100% be able to tell it to you. And granted, I know you very well, but anyone, any acquaintance that I know in passing. And the voice and the body. I mean, like, come on.
Yeah, well, she's wearing trash bags before, so maybe he was thrown off. So... So at the end here, big dumb twist. So basically, Sharon Stone was the big bad guy all along. She kills her husband, tries to frame Catwoman. I don't know. They have a fight, and it turns out that Sharon Stone used the makeup so much that she's got, like, super hard marble skin.
Yeah, which obviously, like, it's so dumb. And at this point, why am I even questioning anything? But Sharon Stone was kind of framed as, like, a sympathetic character in the very beginning because her husband was essentially saying, like, oh, she got old and she's not pretty enough to be the face of the company anymore. So you're kind of set up to, like, root for her. Mm-hmm. And then it just shifts around to her being the ultimate villain, which is, again, indicative of how they didn't really give a shit about the female audience, or at the very least, they didn't give it any real thought.
Or just none of the characters have any depth whatsoever, and it's just like, no, it's a twist for the sake of a twist.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention the horrible haircuts in this movie.
It's a lot of that. I feel like Sharon Stone got the, like, usual Halle Berry haircut.
Well, Sharon Stone has this hair where it just looks like she took scissors in her bathroom and just, like, cut off, like, all her hair. It's so bad, and it's just, it's like a hairstyle that only existed in the early 2000s.
Right.
The same with Halle Berry. Although I still do see this hairstyle in, like, older moms sometimes.
There's a part where she's wearing, like, it looks like comfort, what do they call it, athleisure wear or whatever. She's wearing, like, a jumpsuit type thing with that hair when she doesn't have, like, makeup and stuff. I think she goes to jail at some point. And I was like, she looks like a Kristen Wiig character playing a soccer mom,
yeah.
You know?
It's, like, spiky in the back, and then there's, this, like, these long bangs. It's just so, so terrible.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah. Quite bad. Again, across the board. Bad
just
movie.
Bad in every single way. The music is horrible. Every song is like this just generic, like, kind of pornographic, like, groove with, like, some woman going, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Whoa, 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 baby.
It, like, it's all just reeks of royalty free.
Yes, totally.
Oh my God. It's just a garbage movie. I do think we've definitely watched movies that are, like, worse, technically.
Well, yeah. I mean, the core of this movie is bad. Every level of it is bad. It's not, like, confusingly hard to describe bad, like Snowman, or just, like, really low budget bad,
like
Love on
a
Leash or
Birdemic. Yeah, it's a different.
It's a new genre of bad.
It's the bad where it's like this thing cost $100 million. Mm-hmm. This is like big budget, you know, AAA stars,
Oscar
and stuff like that.
Exactly,
like that's a different type of bad than like a Birdemic or mm-hmm. something like that. And it also got nominated, won like a ton of Razzie Awards, and Halle Berry showed up to accept them and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a special kind of bad. I almost think this is more embarrassing than the type of bad that, like, The Room or something like that would be, because it's like, that is just like, man, it's somebody that's really earnestly trying hard but just doesn't have the chops for it, like a Birdemic or something.
Well, right, and ultimately, The Room being so bad, granted all the actors there a level of success that they probably otherwise wouldn't have attained.
Yeah, whereas this is just an embarrassment across the board. Like, there's so much money and hype behind this and everything, and it's just a turd.
It's really, really bad. But thankfully, it's pretty short.
Yeah, yeah. It's an entertaining kind of bad. Like, I enjoyed watching it.
At least the plot isn't, like, confusing. It's very, very, very straightforward.
Yeah, it's just bad.
It's just bad. Oh, yeah. The one time I wanted to mention this because it just weirded me out. It was confusing. Alex Borstein, Sally, is in the hospital after she faints.
Mm-hmm.
And Halle Berry comes and gives her a treat, the Hershey's bar, and the most obviously fake Louis Vuitton bag I've ever seen in my life. And she doesn't like say like, oh, I grabbed this on my way, or like, oh, you don't want to know how I got this, wink, wink, because I stole this designer bag. Like, she just gives it to her. And
no questions asked.
Alex Borstein doesn't respond at all. Like, it's,
yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah. Also, Ashley Judd and Nicole Kidman were both considered for the role, and they dodged that bullet.
You know, it's a shame because I really can't think of any significant roles that Halle Berry has had since this.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Let me take a look here. Let's look at her filmography. I mean, she definitely didn't, like, disappear from the public eye or anything like that, you know? Let me go. Okay, I'm here. What is she? 54. Let's go to filmography. Okay, she started in 91 with Jungle Fever and Strictly Business. And since, okay, I'm going to run it down after Catwoman.
All right.
We got Robots. We got, oh, X-Men The Last Stand. She was in X-Men movies.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was, like, wasn't that a joke, her Storm character? She's like, oh, what do all frogs have in common?
Oh, that was, there was, like, a really famous bad line there. Yeah, yeah. Perfect Stranger, Things We Lost in the Fire, Frankie and Alice, New Year's Eve, Dark Tide, oh, Cloud Atlas, Movie 43, mm. Oh no, The Call, X-Men Days of Future Past, Kevin Hart, What Now, Kidnap, Kingsman, The Golden Circle, Kings, oh right, John Wick 3.
Of course, yeah.
John Wick 3, and then this year she was in a movie called Bruised, starring as Jackie Justice. She was also the director and producer. Okay.
Well, for what it's worth, I've only heard of a handful of those movies. Not that I'm no movie expert, so my opinion isn't worth much, but it is a shame if this is what kind of turned the tides against her, because she's proven to be an amazing actress.
Yeah, she's great. She's definitely great. But yeah, this was just a big, big pile of stink.
It was real bad. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't seen Monsters Ball after watching this, you should watch it, because it will restore your faith in her, and your faith in general for humanity, because it's a really sad movie, but in terms of it being a quality film, it's very, very good.
Okay, so different than this one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Put this one in the Hall of Fame, one of the worst things we have seen. That will be all we've got on Catwoman 2004. Before we go, we want to thank everyone, all the patrons out there. If you go to patreon.com/paintingthestream, we keep it real easy. We got one $5 tier.
Just one?
Gets a few things here. Gets you ad-free episodes each and every week.
Whoa.
Gets you early episodes. Get it Saturday instead of Sunday.
Wow.
Gets you access to the Discord that we share with the Twitch community. Big active community. I think we got like 400 plus in there
now.
It's
a great place.
It's awesome. Love it there. And most importantly, you get For You, written for you by Bonk herself, a Bonku.
Indeed. Getting a Bonku is kind of like putting your personal stamp on an episode of Panning the Stream.
Yeah, it's like I was the Bonku on that one.
Yeah, we dedicate this episode to you.
Who is Catwoman dedicated to?
Emmanuel. Emmanuel, I imagine.
Hello, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. I'm going to say, what do you think? How should I pronounce this?
Let's go Emmanuel. I think Emmanuel is the kind
female
of female
version.
Yeah.
Okay, Emmanuel.
There was a Cinemax series called Emmanuel back in the... it was scrambly, but...
You got the job done.
Anyway, yeah, Emmanuel, I think, is it. Yeah.
Emmanuel.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I apologize for my confusion over how to pronounce your name. Please accept my apology in the form of this Bonku. Emmanuel thought the sky was weirdly purple before it happened.
Oh, I love the mystery ones. I don't know what happened. Do you know what happened?
No, I don't. Only he knows.
So you create the mystery, but
they know. It's just a little snapshot. You know, okay. I don't have all the information myself. I can only relay what I've witnessed.
Okay. Well, you're very good as a medium for getting these stories out into the world.
Thank you, Daniel.
Of course. And thank you, Emmanuel.
Thank you so much.
And one last thing here. Why don't we do a Hugh game question? Hugh, we got the Hugh game. There's the theme song. What is your favorite way of wasting time? And... let's go ahead and disqualify video games, because I think that's obviously a huge thing for both of us.
Taking long walks.
You do love taking long walks. Mm-hmm. Pointing at stuff.
And, you know, if it's time you enjoy wasting, then it's not time wasted.
That's true. But I'm thinking about, like, I think it's asking, like, you know, when you just don't have anything to do, is like, I'll do this for a bit. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I think for me, a new one is putting together Legos.
Yeah, Legos are great.
I got a few smaller ones that I'm looking forward to putting together. The International Space Station, a T-Rex skeleton, a Jurassic World T-Rex thingy. So yeah, I really enjoy every second I'm putting together a Lego set.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thing. That'll be it, Bonk. For the folks at home, you can follow us at Pan the Stream. You can give us the old 5 stars on Apple Podcasts if you feel so inclined. Tom Monda, thank you for the theme song.
Thank you, sir.
And that's going to be it. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.